Does anybody know how to do anything today? Can I see your hand? Anybody know how to do anything at all? I mean, breathing counts, okay? Right? I will pray for some of you. Three things that you need to be able to do or you need to have in order to do anything. The first thing is you need tools, right? You need tools. Last summer, on the hottest day in the world, my starter died in my car. My starter died. Thank the Lord that it died actually at my dad's yard, right by his toolbox. Thank the Lord for that. Why? Because I needed tools, right? I needed tools. What else did I need? I needed a starter. So I borrowed my mom's car and went to Pep Boys and got a starter. So you needed those things in order to do anything. Another thing that you need is knowledge. You need to know how to do what in the world you're trying to do. With that situation, you need to know how to diagnose it. Okay? You need to know when you turn the key, what happens exactly to pinpoint it to the starter and not to the battery or something else, right? Everybody with me so far? So you need to know what you're doing. You need to have knowledge. You need to have tools. There's one other thing that I think you need in order to be able to do anything. If we're going to talk about how to do stuff, you need to have this last component or else you're never going to get anything done. That is desire. Desire. You can have all the tools in the world and you can know how to do everything, but if you don't have the desire to get up off of your rump, your car's never going to get fixed. Am I right? So I had the desire to get it done. At that point, I was working nights with another job and I was exhausted. And I had the desire to get that starter done like now. So it was the fastest starter change I've ever done in my life, and it was actually easy to do on my Saturn. Surprise, because nothing's easy on the Saturn, but the starter actually was. You could get to it. It was a beautiful thing. So right there at the intersection of tools, knowledge, and desire is when you have the ability to do something, right? You need to have the tools. You need to have the knowledge. You need to have the desire to do it, okay? Here's another thought. If you're going to build a house, right, you need the tools, don't you? You need saws. You need cool tools, right? Circular saws, the bigger the better, right? For me, I love my Sawzall. I'm a Sawzall guy. Anybody else a Sawzall guy? I have a Ryobi 16-piece kit that I bought years ago. I love it. 18-volt cordless, do everything in the world. It came with a chainsaw. I love my chainsaw. Awesome. Awesome. Battery-powered chainsaw. Coolest thing ever. Works pretty well for 18 volts. Works pretty good. So I love the Sawzall. I can do all kinds of stuff with the Sawzall. It also came with a jigsaw with little fine blades. I think I used the jigsaw once. I'm not a jigsaw guy. I'm a Sawzall guy. Okay? For me, I want to go and just take care of business quick. If I'm cutting boards, I'm grabbing my Sawzall. What does that mean? If you're not familiar with those saws, the Sawzall, it's going to get done fast, but it's not going to look very pretty, right? The Sawzall with the little orbiting head, I mean, I can have it do little fancy things that I've never even tried. Because that's not me. I kill things when I touch them. I don't have a green thumb. I don't do fine cabinetry. I can't do that. I live with a Sawzall, a drill, and deck screws. Everything I build has deck screws in it. And I'm grateful because it's strong. You could park your car on it. It just doesn't look very nice. You might get splinters, but, you know. So if you're going to build a fine bookshelf, you can do it. I could do it, but I'm not the fine guy. It'll stand there. It'll hold your books. It's going to be ugly as sin, but it's going to hold your books. So, in regards to tools, you need the right tool. Knowledge, you need to know how to do something. You need to know how to build your bookshelf. Desire, you need to want to do that. So, moving on today, we're going to talk about how to please God. That's the first part in this series. In the future, we're going to be talking about practical ways to help manage your finances. We're going to be talking about how to understand the Bible. We're going to be talking about how to pray. You know, a lot of things that are very practical for you. I hope you come back to check out the rest of the series. I guess it depends on how well I do today. I'm on the spot, so I'm going to try and do a good job. But we're going to talk about how to please God. Number one. For thousands of years, people have tried to please God. God created us with an innate awareness of His presence as Creator. And for thousands of years, people have been trying to find their Creator. They just have. Romans chapter 1 says that God has placed within us an understanding that He is there. Romans 1 tells us that if we look at the stars, we should be able to see there is a Creator. That God made it plain that He's there in the world. And if you would just take a moment to pause and look at creation, you would see that God has done some amazing work, isn't it? Even the Discovery Channel, if you listen to them close, they're hardcore evolutionists. But if you listen to them closely, they will mess up. They will say things like, "Isn't it amazing, human life?" They'll say, look at how the human eye was designed. They'll even slip that word in, designed, which points to what? A designer. You'll hear it. Okay? But their whole thing was, if you didn't know better, you would think that everything was created by a Creator, but you have to keep reminding yourself that it's not. In fact, I believe it was Charles Darwin who said that. That if you just looked through the eyes of science, you would believe that everything was created. So therefore, you better guard your heart and keep telling yourself, it just happened, it just happened, it just happened. When you look at the human eye and you see how the human eye can focus. I can focus on Olga, I can focus on Antoinette, I can focus on Jean in the back and John. And the human eye in a split second focuses. And when I'm looking at Jean, it's blurry here. And when I'm looking at Ivan, Jean's blurry because the human eye is targeting better than any camera ever can. Right? If you know anything about cameras, they're slow with focus. Focus, we cannot make a camera that can work as well as a human eye. God designed creation. We have a Creator. And we know that. And forever, people have been trying to get in touch with their Creator in one way or another. But God has left us with an awareness that He's there. We also have an awareness that there's something missing in our relationship with our Creator. Listen, deep within our hearts, you know that there is a void. That you were born with a void that you cannot fill. You cannot fill. There's this sense that there must be something more. That's why people look at the stars with astronomy. That's why people even fill their lives with working hard, with getting a family, which is fine, you know, hobbies and everything else, trying to fill that space within their heart where they know there's a void and an emptiness and a loneliness. And they think, if only I could fill it with more stuff, then I'll be okay. God created you with this sense of longing, with this sense of yearning, this sense of a void in your heart. You were created that way. We all have that. It's impossible to describe, but you know it's very real. The Bible answers why we believe these things. The Bible speaks clearly of God's role as Creator. Listen, Genesis 1 and 2 tells us God spoke everything to existence. Everything, okay? What does that mean? That means everything. That means when God said, "Let there be light," there was light. God spoke the universe, the stars, into existence. God spoke the laws of physics and gravity into existence. God was creating the world and doing a good job at it. Everything was beautiful and great. But yet God saved the best for last. The very last thing God created, if you don't know, was man. God created man. And it was awesome. And it was good. And mankind walked with God and talked with God. We, human beings, Adam and Eve, had nothing separating them between God. Can I tell you that's why precisely we today have this sense of the supernatural? We have this sense of we long for something greater. And some people turn to witchcraft, and some people turn to fortune tellers. Some people try to talk to the dead. But we have this sense that there's something beyond us. And that's because mankind walked with God. And that desire for something more is in you because you were supposed to have a very real relationship with God. And you're missing it. You're missing it. The Bible also speaks in Genesis chapter 3 of something very bad that happened. Listen, Adam and Eve walked with God. Perhaps you know the story. Everything was great. They had everything they could ever want. But God, being a loving God, wanted to give His children, wanted to give Adam and Eve the ability to choose whether or not they wanted to love Him back. He had to give them a choice on whether or not they were going to love Him. Because if God did not give them a choice, He would be a tyrant. He would be like a cruel parent who locks their kid up in the house, making sure their kid never escapes because they're not allowed to leave and you make sure they never leave. Rather than they're not allowed to leave if they're on punishment, but the door's still there and you're allowing them to choose to obey. Well, God allowed Adam and Eve the choice to obey. Now, we know what happened, don't we? We know what happened. They disobeyed. They disobeyed. They chose to do things their own way. And unfortunately, when they did that, they really began to feel the meaning of the word sin. And sin is whenever we disobey God. It's whenever we miss the perfect mark of God. But sin is not just the things you do, but sin is something that when you do that, it affects your DNA. It affects who you are. Adam and Eve were changed forever. You ever go to a funeral? Right? Anybody ever sad at a funeral? You know why you're sad at a funeral? Because you weren't supposed to die. Because deep in your heart, you know this isn't right. Something's wrong here. Why is my friend in a box? Your friend is in a box because he wasn't supposed to die. I mean, you're sad because he wasn't supposed to die. He was created to have a relationship with God and live forever, as Adam and Eve were supposed to. They sinned, they fell, then sin affected them, and then generations of humanity came forward and people got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I can't blame Adam and Eve for sinning. Why? Because I sinned. Anybody else here? You've done bad stuff in your life? We've all done bad stuff. I'll raise two hands. Okay? And I'm the pastor. I'll raise two. We've done stuff wrong, and we know that Adam and Eve, they've fallen and we've fallen as well. But my point here in this is this. As I said, people have a longing for something bigger because we used to have a relationship with God. And also people have this thought of there's something wrong. It's very difficult to get in touch with God. And we need to earn our way back to God somehow. And that comes from the fact that we know we have a sinful nature that we've inherited from Adam and Eve. So what do people do in order to fill this void that they have? Because listen, this void that you have in your heart was created by God, and only God can fill it. But as I said earlier, people try to fill that void with work. They work hard. That deep within their heart, if they stopped and just listened, they would feel the loneliness. They would feel the despair. So instead they work and work and work. They get hobbies. Play video games. Video games are fine. But if you're doing that to hide the emptiness inside, there's something wrong. You know something that saddens me as a pastor? When I see people date just to fill the void in their life. And that, to be honest with you, saddens me. Because I see young men and young women who need to deal with that void with God. And instead of doing that, they stay busy with dating. And they stay busy with sex. And they think it's filling that void, but it's really not. They're just masking it. And whenever they pause long enough to listen, it's still there. And it's still eating them inside. It also saddens me that Philadelphia Eagles fans, of whom I am one, seek to fill that void with another year of Andy Reid, and it's not going to happen. It's just my thought. Lord, give us a new coach. Amen. And run the ball. Amen. That's what you got legs for. Run. But in all seriousness, I listen to a lot of sports radio as an Eagles fan. And you hear people who call up after an Eagles loss and they're almost suicidal. Now, I get mad, but I'm not going to die over it. Okay? And the problem is, in some cases, seriously, they're filling their void with football. And it's always going to disappoint. And the truth is, even if you are, I guess, a Steelers fan, God help you. Even then, with the Super Bowls, there's still a void, isn't there? Isn't there still a void after a while? I know there is because I hear you Philly fans. Phillies? You just won a World Series. Fire Charlie Manuel. You're screaming. You just won a couple years ago. Why don't you take a breath? You could be the Pittsburgh Pirates. Chill out. But the fact that you won didn't last forever. Because there's something more. Back to being a little bit more serious. Some people try to drown out that yearning with alcohol and drugs as well. That when they silence things enough, the yearning gets deeper and deeper and they turn to booze and they think that's going to help them. And it's not. And they turn to recreational drugs thinking that'll help them and it's not. And it just doesn't. And it's unfortunate because I have family members who I love, okay? And that's their story. I'm pretty sure that's their story. Is there's a yearning inside of them for more, that God created them and they're filling it with alcohol and drugs. And it's saddening, isn't it? And it happens all the time. If that's you today, I want you to know that there is hope for you. There is help for you. The false gods that people try to save themselves with from their darkness always come back empty. But there is help for you. Some people practice ignoring the voice enough over and over and over again that they actually get good at it. And they can go through life and think they're happy and tell everybody they're happy and they just ignored this thing that's still there. For some people, they realize that that's still there, and they try religion to get back to God, right? Perhaps you've done that. Maybe you've tried to be religious to get back to God. The Muslims do that as well, right? Islam is one of the world's largest religions. And in their system, they have what they call the five pillars of Islam, where every day they recite a creed. They repeat this thing over and over again, five times a day. So that way it'll help them to somehow earn their way back to God. They pray five times a day, but they have to pray in a certain way, in a certain position, with their toes pointing towards Mecca. And they have to make sure they wash themselves so they're ceremonially clean five times a day. And in doing so, maybe they can be right with God. They have to fast during the day in Ramadan. They have to. And maybe God will be pleased with them. Maybe they can be right with God. They have to give a certain amount of their money. And everyone who is able and can go has to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. You have to go there. And you have to walk there. Hoping that one day you can please God. If you're not Islamic, perhaps your culture is a little bit different. For me, I didn't grow up in an Islamic family. But I've seen people who, in order to get close to God, they've done things like collected little angel knickknacks. And they put angel stickers on their cars. And they're trying to get back to God. Is there anything wrong with an angel knickknack? No, but it's not getting you back to God. They'll do things like keeping a Bible on your bookshelf. I know people who would keep a Bible under their pillow so they wouldn't have bad dreams. I don't know if that's a good idea. I think you're just going to get a kinked neck, right? Especially if you got a big Bible. You'd be better off reading it than putting it under your pillow. But religious people do things like that. They recite prayers. They take long walks in nature trying to hear God. Some people, they give blood in order to get back to God. Like they donate blood. They recycle. They try to be good people. They get their pets spayed and neutered, right? They vote in order to get right with God. Some who are a little bit more sensitive perhaps try to get on God's good side because they know there's a void. And in order to get on God's good side, they go to church once in a while. And going to church is good. I'm a pastor. It's good. But they go to church in order to please God, thinking God has this chart up in heaven. And God's saying, you went to church. Check. Big ups for you. Recycled. Oh, you left the can in the trash. Not getting points for that, right? You gave blood. Good. Spayed and neutered your pets. Good. Disciplined your kids. Good. You bought a cross to hang on your windshield rearview mirror, which I think is illegal now, isn't it? I used to have a big old cool bandana in my old hot rod. Can't do that anymore, I guess. But, you know, you would do that just so God will be with you. You'll do things like that. And it's very religious. But to be honest with you, it all falls short. You're not pleasing God. You can't please God. Some people try to please God by being super religious. Okay? Do you know anybody like that? They go to church all the time. Every service, they're there. They could have the flu, and they're taking it with them. You know? And they always go. And everything they do is Christian. Everything they do is Christian. You know? Meaning, every TV show is Christian. And it's just odd that you can have preachers who preach about completely different things and they don't even agree with each other, but you listen to them all, so you're just confused. You know? But people, everything has to be on and you don't know what they're saying, but you just let it go. Everything's, it's just, I don't know, I just find that a little bit weird. You know, anybody else? A little bit strange? Yeah? But everything has to be super duper religious. They read books. Which are fine. But it's very religious, trying to earn their way back to God. I think that's the problem. And here's a problem that I've had that we spoke about a couple weeks ago. You can download it on the internet if you want. But some people think that God didn't do a good job with the Bible. They're very religious. They would never say that, but what they do is they take God's Ten Commandments and they add another 1,000, thinking God forgot something. Right? And they add things like, thou shalt not go to the movies. Have you heard that commandment? Right? And I'm going to please God because I don't go to the movies. Thou shalt not drink coffee. We're in trouble because we got coffee everywhere. Right? If that's a conscience thing for you, don't drink coffee. But yeah, you know, it's... rules like don't go to the beach, right? If you grew up in that, you grew up in that culture, okay? You don't have to do that. You're not earning your way to God. Guess what? God did a good job on the Ten Commandments, didn't he? They cover everything, right? We don't need to add more, but super religious people do that. They say you have to wear a suit to church. I don't have a suit on. Truth is, I couldn't fit into it anyway. That's the truth. Because I looked at my tie this morning, but the tie was fine. The shirt was screaming. And I would have hit somebody with a button and knocked them out, and it wasn't worth all that. But wearing a suit to church doesn't make you please God, right? Inevitably, it all boils down to the same thing. All the religions in the world, and not just religions, all the people filling their time with hobbies and girlfriends and boyfriends and beer and everything else, it's all because they're trying to bridge this gap to get themselves back to being whole and healed, which only God can do. Earlier I said, in order to accomplish anything, you need to have the tools, you need to have the knowledge, you need to have the desire. Many of us have the desire to get back to God. But can I tell you, we didn't have the tools? There's no way we could get back to God. God's perfect, we're not. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden because they couldn't be in God's presence because of their sin. We can't be in God's presence with our sin. There's nothing we could do. We didn't have the knowledge. We couldn't figure it out. But I got a great verse for you. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God. Through what? Through Christ. Well, listen, this changes everything. Because I don't wear a suit or not in order to get God to like me. I don't read a book or not to get God to... I don't even read my Bible just to get God to like me. I read my Bible because He loves me. And I want to know more about Him. But it's not to get Him to love me. He loves me already. We are right with God through Christ. Jesus has given us the ability to be right with God. Not praying a certain way, not giving a certain amount of money, not going to the beach or not, not being religious or not, not wearing a cross on your neck or not. None of those things get you right with God. None of those can bring you to Him except through Jesus. That's the only way you can be right with God. If you can turn in your Bibles to page 880, if you have a Bible, I want to read this verse together. And I want you to see it with your eyes. There's Bibles around. It's page 880. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. And in case you're wondering, I'm winding down, okay? And if you want to know what that means, it really doesn't mean anything. But we really are. How important is the resurrection? The resurrection is so important that Paul takes chapter 15 and begins to make an argument with people who were saying Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And he says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, everything's messed up. You can read that on your own later, but look at verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. It says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, that means since Adam was our like daddy, so to speak, in the past we've all come from his line. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who what belongs to Christ will be given new life. That changes everything. You need to belong to Christ. It's through Jesus. And there's nothing else you can do. Being religious will not help you please God. We shared on Good Friday, John 19, Jesus, as He was on the cross, His last words were this, "It is finished." Jesus was building a bridge to God the Father so we could get back to God. And He finished the bridge. It's done. Right? You don't need to do anything but cross the bridge. Here's the picture. Again, Adam and Eve, summary. People, we were connected with God. There was nothing separating people from God. Because of their sin, a great cavern divided them. God is perfect. We're messed up. Anybody messed up? Can I see your hand? Y'all lying because all you messed up. And I'm messed up too. Our sin separates us from God. It just does. Step one, you know, we have these people looking over a cliff. How am I going to get to God? What can I do? God is way over there. God is holy. God is perfect. I'm a complete bum. I'm messed up. I can't do anything right. Anybody make promises to God and say, "God, if you do this, I'll do this." And then even when God keeps His part, you don't keep yours. Anybody ever do that? I've done that, right? Have you done that before? Maybe it's silly, but you think you're making a wager with God? And then how bad do you feel when you drop your end of the bargain, right? You feel bad. God's going to hate me. As if God's in heaven saying, "Wow, I had no idea you weren't going to keep your end. God knew you're going to mess up. God, if you do this, then I'm going to go to church every day and give to you." And God's like, "No, you're not. I'm already in the future. You've messed up 18 more times." Right? There's something that separates us from God, and we cannot get to Him. So people try to reach God with different ways. We've talked about this. They go to church, right? They get religious. They take nature walks. They recycle. They get their pets spayed. Whatever the deal is, they try to get back to God by being a good person. Maybe they give money. Maybe they fill out those things at Wawa where you write your name on the clover and hang it on the wall. That's fine. It's good to give to things. But it's just not going to make you right with God. And all of our ladders like this fall into the abyss. We couldn't get right with God. Here's what we just said. Jesus could. Do you see that? There's no way to get to God but through Jesus. Why is that? Because Jesus is God. Jesus was fully God, born through Mary. God was the daddy, Mary was the mommy. We call it the Immaculate Conception. Fully God, fully man. He's the only one in history who was able to bridge the gap between God, because He's God, and man, because He became a man. He's the only one. And He said that, "I am," what? "The way," He said. John 14, 6, I believe it is. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Because He's the only one who is God and man. Nobody else can do that. He died, He rose again, proving that He was God. So what do we need to do? You need to receive God's gift. You understand, that's the gospel message. That's what this Christianity thing's all about. That's what Easter is all about. Easter says we just receive what God has done for us. The question today is where are you? Are you here? Or are you here? Have you received the gift of God or have you not? You know this verse, "For God so loved the world." God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus, you will live forever. Jesus says that in John 14. "I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in Me will live even after dying." I'm not saying you become a Christian and I don't preach your funeral. I'm not saying that, because somehow we got to get to heaven. But when you die as a Christian, you pass through like a curtain. It's kind of like going from one room to another. When I was a kid, we only had air conditioning in like one room. Anybody have it like that? You have the curtain hanging up? And for some of us, when we die, it's going to be like going from the hot kitchen to the cool living room, where we just enter into God's presence. Remember that? You walk into the room, feels so nice in here. You live forever. For some, it's going to be like going from the cold living room into the hot kitchen, where it gets worse for you. And that's... that's the unfortunate thing. How to please God? Knowledge, tools, desire. Knowledge, guess what? Jesus was the only one who knew how to we could ever please God. It was Jesus. What were the tools? The cross. The Bible says that sin requires a payment of death. Jesus died and rose again for our sins. The last thought is this: with desire, it's up to you. It's up to you. John 3:36 says, "Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life, but he who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment." If you don't know Jesus, and if you're not a Christian, the truth is you don't have a relationship with Him. Your parents could have been Christians. I don't know. Your grandparent could have been a great Christian. I don't know. But that doesn't matter, because it's not dependent upon what they did. It's dependent upon what you've done. Jesus is the bridge. Have you crossed the bridge? It's pretty simple, isn't it? The Bible tells us if you reject Jesus' plan of salvation, you're still under God's wrath. That means God's mad at you because you've rejected His Son. And when you sit back and say, why are things not going well in my life? It could be that the God who loves you is allowing things to get messed up just so you can turn back to Him to get your attention. It's terrible. Oh, how sad when people have rejected Jesus and they have no problems. It's very hard for those people to ever turn back to God because they think everything's fine. Where they've ignored God so much that God washed His hands of them and said, okay. And they think they're blessed, but God's wrath is still on them. And they're missing out on God's presence. We all have sin. The Bible says if you pretend you don't, you're lying. We all have sin. I've chosen to ask Jesus to forgive me. And guess what? In all honesty, He has. And it's good. He shared His love with me. And I'm thankful that I've received it. The Bible tells us how. The Bible says clearly, you don't give money. We're going to have an offering at the end of the service. If you're a visitor, we don't want you to give. We want you to keep your money and just be blessed. We want to just bless you today. But you're not going to go to heaven because you give any offering or not. It's all about Jesus. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful, He's just. He forgives us of all of our sins. Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Whatever bad thing you've done, whatever shameful thing that's in your past that you don't want anybody to know, Jesus will forgive you today. Jesus gave His life to forgive you. You can receive that today. If you confess Him as your Lord, Romans 10:9 and 10 tells us, you will be saved. You'll be saved. You'll have a relationship with God. And if you mean it, and you just pray and ask Him to forgive you, He will come into your life and forgive you. If you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want to follow You. I want to have a relationship with You. Guess what? Today, you can please God. How do you please God? It's the cross. one word answer. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not anything else. As a pastor, I go to church and I pastor not to get Jesus to love me, but because He's loved me, I go to worship Him because of what He's already done. Do you understand that? I read my Bible not to please God. I've pleased God only through Christ. I read my Bible just to get to know this God more. I give not so God would be pleased with me. He can only be pleased with me through Christ. I give in worship to Him. If you're here today and you've never done this church thing, this is all new to you, and maybe you've seen Christianity as a bunch of rules, it's not about the rules. Maybe some people, for them, they're wrong and it is about the rules. I want you to know it's about Jesus today. And He will work in your life. Can I pray for you today? Hallelujah. Jesus rose from the dead to give you new life. If you're here today and your life has been hopeless, Jesus, because He rose from the dead, is your hope. We may have someone in a crowd this size today. Maybe you deal with different addictions. Maybe for some it's alcohol or drugs or a sexual addiction or shoplifting or something. For some it could be bulimia or anorexia or cutting or anything like that. Whatever that is, I want you to know Jesus rose from the dead, and because He rose from the dead, He's your hope today. He's your hope. And you can find peace with God today. You can be right with God. You can have a relationship with the Creator that deep inside you know you want to have. If that's you today, I'm going to pray. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And what I'm asking you to do is, with every head bowed, you can pray along and you can talk to the Lord. Today, you can get right with God. I'm not going to make you come forward. I'm not going to have everybody look at you. We don't do any of that weird religious stuff. We're just going to get real with God. And you can talk to Him today where you are. You can follow me in prayer. And I pray that you would just mean it with your heart. You can use different words. You can use my words. But the gist is the same. To ask God to forgive you and to come in your life, and He will give you a new relationship with Him. Let me pray. You can repeat after me. If this is you and you're making a commitment to the Lord today, Jesus, I thank You for dying on the cross for my sin and for rising from the dead. I know that my sin has separated me from God, and I cannot be good enough. So today I stop trying to be good, and I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins and rising again to prove that it's true. I receive You as my Savior. I ask You to forgive me of all that I've done. Wash me clean. Give me Your hope and Your peace. And help me to walk after You. Thank You for restoring my relationship with the Father. And teach me what it means to truly be a Christian. Thank You for forgiving me and giving me new life that I can live with You forever. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, in all sincerity, their power is not in the words, it's in your heart talking to God. And if you've prayed that and if you've meant that in all sincerity, in all seriousness, you've meant that with all your heart, Jesus has forgiven you today. Now listen, this is how it works. Sometimes people pray and they feel goosebumps and they sense God's presence. Awesome. Sometimes people pray and they don't feel any different at all. Awesome. Because we don't serve our emotions, we serve Jesus. Amen? And God is bigger than my heart. He's bigger than my intellect. His Word says that He will forgive. And you've asked Him and He's forgiven you. His Word says He's the Savior. If you've asked Him to forgive you, He will save you and He will give you eternal life. We looked at the verses. So today I want you to know this, whether you felt something or you didn't, if you've meant that, Jesus has touched you and He saved you and He's made you a new person.